Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. How you doing? I'm Frank Rush. Our guest this weekend is Indiana State Police Trooper and Public Information Officer Sergeant Matt Ames. What's going on?
Oh, having a good day.
Really?
It's Friday.
Well, that's good. That's good. So what's a typical day like for you? Because you're not just the public information officer. I mean, you actually go out and actually act like a real cop.
Absolutely.
You know?
A normal day for me is getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ouch.
And getting out and getting on the road by 5 o'clock, stop a couple of semis for exceeding the posted speed limit or what other violations they're committing, and then check and see what activity our troopers did in the overnight hours, write a news release, get to talk to news media just like you, and go about enforcing the laws of the state of Indiana.
Because, you know, we'll call you even in the middle of the night if we hear about
that
something.
That happens every once in a while. That's all yeah. Good, though.
Do you actually have a shift that you normally do work, or do you just kind of, as long as you get your 8 hours in a day, or how does that work?
As long as I get my 8.5 in, and I'm productive throughout the day, that's how it works.
Yeah, okay. So like somebody asked you, don't you have a quota? Don't you have to write so many tickets?
Nope, they'll let me write as many tickets as I want.
Well, that's good, but you better write some.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right.
Tickets and warnings.
So we've got a couple of things going on. First of all, school's back in session. School buses are on the road. And, of course, after the summer layoff, then, of course, buses hardly being on the road much of any time at all last year because of everything that was going on. A lot of folks, I think, they never seem to have a very good memory in a lot of cases, but they've forgotten about how to drive and how to react around school buses.
That's true. School buses are back out on the road right now. What we ask for people to do is be very patient when you're around them. And you're going to find that the school buses are going to be on the same routine every single day. They're going to be picking up at 7:30 at the same location every day. So you need to make sure that you're adjusting your time schedule where you need to leave a little bit earlier or just have a lot of patience when you see the school bus. And of course, when the yellow lights start flashing, that means it's time to slow down. They're getting ready to stop. And of course, when the stop arm comes out and the red lights come on, that means you must stop. And a state law requires you to stop at least 20 feet behind the rear of the bus or 20 feet in front of the bus. So that way the kids can get on the bus safely.
And the flashing lights on the school bus, especially the amber ones, that's not the same as a traffic light, because at a traffic light, that means you basically hit the gas and speed up and try to get through it. But a school bus...
Yeah, exactly. It's time to slow down.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
No, absolutely
not. And the biggest problem, too, is you never know where the kids are going to be at along the side of the road.
No, and a lot of our school buses now here in the Wabash Valley all have cameras on them now, so that way if you do pass the stop arm, they take a picture of the vehicle that's doing it, they'll get your license plate number, and that will get turned over to our trooper that's assigned to that particular school corporation. He will do an investigation, and of course, throughout the investigation, you can receive a citation in the mail for disregarding a stop arm.
And the cameras on those buses, they're not like those fuzzy security cameras we see every now and then. You know, somebody's looking for, you know, somebody that, you know, holds up a mini mart or something. I mean, you could see what's really going on there.
You can actually see the driver's face and, of course, the license plate on the vehicle, and we can match that information together, and we have video of everything that's going on.
So if it's your car and somebody comes to your door, knock, 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 hey, we've got a picture of you running the stop arm. Oh, it wasn't me. I loaned my car out. Well, the pictures are good enough to tell if it was you in the car, right?
Yes, they are. They're good enough for that. So just be aware of that. You know, some of the other things we want to make sure is, though, as parents and as school corporations are talking to the kids or getting on and off the bus, the most important thing is they need to make sure that the bus comes to a complete stop. The student needs to make sure that they're making eye contact with the bus driver. Let the bus driver motion them when it's time to get on the bus. One thing that we do ask is that for older children or children or students, not to be wearing headphones when the school bus pulls up, and make sure that you don't have your hood pulled up. So therefore, you can make sure you're using your sense of hearing, and you can look both directions before you get on the school bus, which we have worked an accident here in Clay County a couple of years ago. I worked personally where a student had his headphones on, had a hoodie up, and just walked right out onto State Road 59. A vehicle disregarded the stop arm, and unfortunately the student was injured, non-life-threatening, but he was injured and got transported to the hospital.
Yeah, it's important that you do pay attention. And that goes for both, because everybody's responsible here. You can't just shove it off onto somebody else, the student and the driver of the cars around him. They're all responsible.
Absolutely. Everyone's got a responsibility in making sure that you get on that bus safely and get to school safely. You know, an interesting fact, as I was getting ready for this interview, that the school bus yellow is called school bus yellow chrome, and it was invented in 1939, and that yellow allows for people to be able to see that more peripheral. So that's the reason why it's been around so long, and it's going to continue to go on. And every school bus here in the state of Indiana is inspected by a state trooper, and it's certified. If it's a brand new bus, it still gets inspected, and every bus is inspected annually. And then if it's a bus that's over 12 years old, it gets inspected twice a year by a state trooper and gets a window sticker letting know that that vehicle's been inspected and it's roadworthy.
What do you look for?
They're looking for making sure that all the seats are properly down, making sure that the brakes are good, that the tie rods are good, making sure all the emergency exit work on the windows and as far as them sounding and that they can open and close like they're supposed to. And they're making sure that the drivers have a valid driver's license, and also that every driver here that operates in a school corporation, they have to go through a drug and alcohol, make sure that they're certified in that. And that's just part of the process that the Indiana State Police, and it's a state law that we're making sure that the vehicles are roadworthy out here for our students. And actually, a school bus is 70 times safer for students to get to school versus taking transportation in a car.
Well, and I mean, you see the wrecks. They're bigger. They're beefier.
Yep.
You've got to really hit one with something pretty good size in order to do any damage to it.
Yes. We've had two accidents in Owen County, two serious PI accidents were car versus a school bus. And there was one fatality in that. And the fatality was in the car. Nine students were transported to the hospital and no major injuries to any of those students. They are the most scrutinized vehicle that we have out here by the National Highway Traffic Association. And their safety standards are really, really high.
When you inspect those buses, you go out and drive them or you just crawl around under them?
Oh, we crawl underneath them and check all of them out. And there's usually a driver assigned from the school corporation that does everything else for us.
Hmm, okay. Well, that's good. And the clear flashing strobe lights on top, does every corporation run those? I know Vigo County's got them, and I think I've seen one or two others in the area, but I don't know. Do they all have them?
No, not all of them have them. Some corporations have them and some of them don't. It's not state law that they are required.
Oh, okay. They help though, don't they?
They do help, especially in the fog. They help a lot.
Yeah, okay. So school bus safety. Now the other thing too is, and this is the big debate every year, and you guys came up with a nice graphic and you'll find it. We put it up on all of our web pages. We've used it. I think you had it out about a year or two ago. When do I pass? When do I really have to stop? Two-lane roads are different than four-lane roads, and then four-lane roads are different depending upon whether or not they have a median or not.
Correct. Two-lane roads, everyone must stop. And like I said earlier, you know, state law states that you got to be 20 feet in front or 20 feet behind the bus. A four-lane highway, example would be here, US 40 in Clay County. If there's no divided median, whether it be a concrete or grass, everyone would be required to stop. And if it does have a median, then only the vehicles located behind the bus are required to stop.
Okay. But you got to make sure you know which side of the road you're on and all that kind of stuff.
That is correct. And if you need any clarification on that, you can go to @ISP Putnamville on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram now. And we've posted that just like you have to your site so everyone can follow that information properly.
Bus drivers are getting hard to find.
They are getting very hard to find. And I it's really hard for school corporations to get good qualified people out there to do that.
You know, it's on the test. Is it hard to pass it? I mean, is it difficult? I mean, obviously, I would think putting up with the kids and their screaming and shenanigans is probably one thing. But
shenanigans, that's a good word for it. It is not very easy. I mean, it takes a lot. You got to know how to drive the bus properly, be able to pass the driver's test. And, of course, you got a lot of responsibility to deal with or make sure that you're transporting the students to and from safely.
And one of the things too, I know that I've known a couple of guys over the years that have either been state or county. Every now and then you guys are known to kind of not ride with them. Well, sometimes you do ride with the bus drivers and radio ahead, but you also just kind of tag along and maybe follow them on their whole route. So if you do blow a stop arm or you do something stupid, you might get caught.
That is true. We have picked troopers on school buses before and work special details like that. I don't know where or not we're going to be doing that this year, but there is a special overtime money that's appropriated to the county and city agencies where they will have officers that will specifically follow certain school buses that are having issues. to make sure that everything's going safe for them.
And to make sure everybody does stay safe, because I imagine, I don't know if you've ever worked a wreck or not like this, but having to work a school bus accident has probably got to be probably more difficult than your typical daily job.
It is very difficult. There's a lot of things that go into it. Number one, you'll have to do a complete bus inspection. You have to do a diagram of where each student was sitting in that bus, whether or not they were injured or not injured. Get medical records. It's a very in-depth investigation.
By the time you actually listen to this on a podcast, it may be over with, but on air, we're just about getting ready to end a little special, what, a week, 1 week run of drive sober or get pulled over?
Yeah, it's starting today on the 20th, and it's going to go through September the 6th.
Okay.
Operation Pullover is what it's called.
You guys got to do this every year. Is it really that much more than what you normally do? Because, I mean, I know that's one of the things you're looking for all the time. You're always looking for drunk drivers. You're always looking for somebody who's weaving and doing something stupid. And is this more than what you would normally do?
It's not more than what we normally do. That's something we're out here doing every day, trying to make the roadway safe for everyone. What it is we're just promoting that we will have extra officers out on the roadway. And extra officers, we mean that we're going to have officers that will be working overtime hours that's being paid through a federal grant. They'll work their normal shift, and they can work an additional 4 hours on a normal day, or they can work 12 hours on a day off, looking for intoxicated drivers, trying to make the roadway safe out here.
And, of course, if somebody's drunk and driving, well, you know, they've been at this. They have experience. You're not going to catch them.
That's what they think. And, you know, the thing is we're looking for – we're always looking for their type of driving behavior, whether they're left or center, whether or not they're going sometimes it's extremely slow because they're being so cautious. But we're looking for license plates lights out. We're looking for tail lights to be out just to give us probable cause to stop that vehicle and see whether or not that individual's intoxicated.
You mean you'd stop somebody for driving too slow?
Absolutely. They're keeping traffic from being allowed to move in a safe manner.
Well, and speaking of traffic and slow or fast or whatever, I mean, because mainly ISP, we think of the interstate's kind of your domain, even though you do everything else. But
Correct. But
the interstate's kind of where you guys usually hang out normally. And there's that left lane law. That, mm-hmm. Of course, I've gotten pinned behind somebody on the left lane. I'm always saying, where's these troopers at now?
True. Yeah, the left lane law just basically states that once you're done completing your pass, that you move back over into the driving lane as quickly and safely as possible.
In all fairness, sometimes on the interstate, that's hard to do.
Yes, it is hard to do, and we do take that into consideration, especially a lot of times we have issues with the semi-tractor trailers that, you know, one's trying to pass another one, and it's just going a little bit faster, and then they hit a hill, and all of a sudden they lost their momentum, and now they got to go back and be behind them. You know, normally we're given semis approximately 2 to 3 miles to complete their pass. If they can't get it done in that timely manner, then they're going to get stopped, and we'll have a discussion with the driver and see where we can go from there.
Yeah, has ever write tickets for the left lane law?
I have written tickets for the left lane law. Absolutely.
How do they not see you behind them?
I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for them.
Your specific car does not have the lights on top.
Nope,
so it might be a little bit easier to miss.
It might be. But I still have the red and blues in the front and the grill and the windshield. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get their attention. But that's okay.
That's what the siren's for.
Yeah. Yes.
Hit that and you kind of, all of a sudden they're like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the other thing too, and that is, of course, texting and driving, cell phones, distracted driving in general. It's still, I mean, let's face it. Is it still an issue, or have folks finally caught on to the laws that are out there?
No, it's still an issue for us. Within the last year, we've written over 10,000 warnings trying to educate the public about the law.
Really? That many?
Yep. And then we've reissued 5,000 citations for it. Starting July 1 of this year, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles is now applying points to the driver's license. I believe it's going to be 2 points that will be applied to each driver's license. And what people may not realize is that, oh, okay, I got a ticket. I got 2 points assigned to my driver's license. But within a two-year window, if you get 20 points assigned to your driver's license, then your license will be suspended through the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. So people just need to make sure that they're not texting and driving. You know, there's nothing worse than working an accident where someone's texting and driving, whether it's property damage or personal injury or unfortunately fatal, which I've been involved in several of those, where you know that the accident is 100% preventable. They're estimating that there's over 300,000 accidents in the United States annually that occur from people that are texting and driving. And the financial impact is around $40 billion.
A couple of things we talked about before we started doing the show, and that is, number one, how do you catch people doing that? Okay, if they're sitting there with their hands and it's on top of the steering wheel and it's there for God and country to see, not hard for you to make
that a lot. We do see that a lot, unfortunately.
But if they've got it down in their lap,
Well, if they have it down in their lap, you can tell we're looking for people that will be going left to center. A lot of times they'll be driving right at you, and you'll see them go left to center and that they're looking down. So you know that they're texting and driving. And sometimes if we can't prove that, maybe it's just a stop where someone receives a written warning for a telecommunication device, and just educating them, letting them know that, hey, you know, you're not the only motorist out here. There's other motorists out here. And each time that you're taking your eyes off the road, it's a danger to the person that's operating the vehicle and everyone else is traveling around them.
But that's a thrill. You look up and you see somebody start drifting across the center line.
You see that a lot, especially over in Vigo County. You see that a lot, unfortunately.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I didn't realize, you know, how much you'd actually see that.
Well, but when you're doing this for a paid living, you're looking for it a lot. How's that sound?
Well, yeah, all right. Now, if folks want to work with you guys, you've got to, I know by the time the show airs, not long after, because it'll end on Sunday night, but you're still hiring.
Yes, we are still hiring. We're going through the hiring process right now. We encourage people, or people need to go on to IN.gov. They can go to the Indiana State Police website and fill out the application. You know, there's nothing more than rewarding, in my opinion, of course, because I work for the Indiana State Police, to be a state trooper and be able to serve all the great citizens here in the state of Indiana. Our starting pay is $48,000, which is really very good. And upon graduating from the academy, your pay will go up to $50,000. The academy is about 24 to 26 weeks long, depending upon where the holidays fall in. You'll stay at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy in Plainfield while you're being trained. And in the course of the training, you're learning how to become a state trooper. We're teaching you criminal law, traffic law, how to do first aid, firearms training, and of course, we're going to teach you how to drive fast and do EVOC training too.
Which can be fun.
Oh, that's the best part. I think that's one of the best parts that we do. Upon graduating, though, you would be assigned a particular district in the state of Indiana. There's 14 districts in the state. Upon doing that, you would go through what's called a field training program. And that's going to be 3 months. And of course, that 3 months, you'll be working with different officers, learning how they do things, and then taking that and putting it in your tool bag. And then towards the end of the 2 weeks before you would issue your car, then you're on your own, and the field training officer is just there to observe you and do your evaluations. And then once upon graduating from that, you would receive a brand new patrol car, and you would be out on solo patrol at that time.
You've done this for a while, but how hard is it really? I mean, the academy and the training, I mean, I would think, firstly, you'd be kind of nervous to have somebody that's done this for 20 years, 30 years, sitting next to you, you know, but to go through the academy, the physical, the mental training, how hard is it?
In my opinion, it's not that hard at all, because that's just what my upbringing was from my parents that I had, but we are looking for good, quality people that are very humble, because you have to be humble when you're a police officer and you're dealing with the public out here. People need to see that you have a demeanor about you that is very calming. And that you're going to make a good decision. Sometimes within a split second, you have to make a very hasty decision sometimes. But in the course of doing that, we are looking for people that are mentally capable of doing this and physically capable of doing the job.
Johnny Ticket Rider need not apply?
Johnny Ticket Rider can. We need a good traffic enforcement out here too.
You know what I'm talking about, though. Somebody who's maybe just a little bit too gung-ho on some of them.
We'll take care of it. We'll get them trained properly. But I mean, yeah. And the thing is about being a state trooper, there's all kinds of different avenues that we have. You can be a crime scene technician. You can be a commercial motor vehicle officer where you're doing truck enforcement strictly. You can be a regular road trooper out here and be doing enforcing traffic laws and doing investigations and working traffic accidents. We have detectives positions. We have a scuba team, which I was a part of for 10 years. That's a very rewarding position to be able to be in. And we have a full-time SWAT team as well.
Not to get too deep in the weeds, but I do think that probably you need to have a little bit of a stomach to do your job.
Absolutely. You have to be mentally capable of seeing some certain things and being
able to
deal with
it. You're put in positions that are not pleasant for most people.
For most people, yeah, I would say that. But, you know, the good thing is we have a good network of individuals that are assigned here to the Putnamville State Police Post. And we communicate with each other, and we make sure everyone's good to go.
All right. So if you want to apply, go online?
Go online, and you got to get that application turned in by midnight on Sunday.
All right. Well, that sounds like
if you do have any questions about getting that filled out, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or Facebook, and I'll get those answers to you as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because if folks, I mean, let's face it, not everybody really knows what you do on your side of it. So if they have questions, they want to learn more, the best thing to do is go to somebody that's doing it.
And we do offer ride-alongs for people that are interested in a law enforcement career.
And really, in today's day and age, though, why would anybody want that job?
Because it's a very rewarding job. It gives you an opportunity to give back to your community that you're living in, and make things better for people that need assistance.
You know what I'm getting at? Because there's some people out there that don't like you.
There is people out there. There's people out there that don't like radio people either.
This is true, yeah. Normally, they're not shooting at me.
No.
Normally.
But I would just say that overall, this is just a very rewarding job to have, and it's great to give back to the community and to be able to work along with the community to make things better for them.
And most people do appreciate and respect what you do.
Most people, I'm going to tell you, probably 99.9% of the people out here respect everything that we're doing and what we're out here. It's unfortunate sometimes the people that who are in the negative, number one, they get more news media coverage sometimes. And then, of course, they want to do harm to us as well.
All right. Matt Ames with the Indiana State Police. Thanks for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's program, you can always go on our website, listen to it. It's there as a podcast. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.